Scripture reading for this Good Friday evening service comes to us from John chapter 19. John chapter 19, we'll begin reading at verse 23 to verse 37. Verse 23 to 37. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. They said therefore among themselves, "Let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be." That the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, "They parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots." These things therefore the soldiers did. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother, and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, "Woman, behold thy son." Then saith he to the disciple, "Behold thy mother." And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, "I thirst." Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. The Jews therefore, because it was the preparation that the bodies should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was an high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken, and that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true, and he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. For these things were done that the scripture should be fulfilled, "A bone of him shall not be broken." And again another scripture saith, "They shall look on him whom they pierced." Thus far the reading of God's holy and infallible word. Our text this evening comes from John 19, verse 30. John 19, verse 30. Where we read of Jesus' sixth word from the cross. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Beloved, imagine if we spoke in one word sentences. What would we communicate in one word? If we were to learn to communicate in one word sentences, we would be very careful about the words we chose to communicate what we're thinking, what we're feeling. Key words would become very important in day-to-day speech. And tonight we're here given a key word from John 19, verse 30. A word that communicates the essence, the marrow of the gospel. It's a word that contains salvation. It's really the exclamation mark upon Christ's work. And the gospel is communicated to each one of us tonight in one Greek word. And children, I'm going to teach you your first Greek word tonight. And if there's one Greek word that you need to learn for your life, for your soul, it's this Greek word. It's tetelestai. If there's one Greek word that all Christians should know, it's this word. It's translated into English. It is finished. It is completed. It is accomplished. It is done. It is fulfilled. And tonight, this is Christ's cry of triumph from the cross. This is the final cry to the world of God's grace The last word that Christ would speak to the people gathered at the foot of the cross was not a whisper. The other gospel writers tell us it was a loud cry. The crucifixion, the death of Christ, the atonement, salvation, it wasn't done in a corner. It wasn't hidden from the view of man. It was done so that the entire world might know that Christ has died for sinners. And our theme tonight then, as we consider these final minutes of Christ on the cross, this sixth word of Christ from the cross is simply this: finished. And as we look back at the final hours of Christ, we see that the road to the cross has been a long one. Christ has gone through agony of body and soul. In Gethsemane, he's faced his accusers in the high priest's house. He's come before Pilate, and then before Herod, and then before Pilate again. He's bounced between one and the other. He's forced to carry his cross, and then the cross is placed on Simon. And Christ is crucified. He's nailed, he's beaten, he's whipped. His hair is ripped out. He's suspended on the cruel cross. He's made a curse in the eyes of God and man. He's forsaken of his Father. In the midst of all this suffering, we see that Jesus is other-oriented. In the high priest's house, he casts a look of compassion upon Peter, which melts Peter's heart and leads to his repentance. And as he's hanging there in excruciating agony and pain, he's oriented towards his mother, towards his beloved disciple. He speaks words of compassion. The end has now come. Jesus' last moment comes to a close. And children, will he go out with a whimper? Will Jesus be defeated in these final moments? No. He first cries out, "I thirst." Jesus' tongue was cleaving, was stuck to the roof of his mouth. His throat was parched. He needed some moisture in his mouth because he had one more thing to say. He needs just a little moisture to announce to the world that redemption is accomplished. To telestai, it is finished. His cries, they come in quick succession. He gives up the ghost. He fulfills Scripture. Scripture has testified that Jesus Christ would die for sinners, and he accomplishes all that. And even as he's oriented towards others, he's oriented towards sinners tonight as he utters this triumphant cry on the cross. It's his victory cry. It's all accomplished. Everything is fulfilled. His work is complete. It's the stamp of authentication upon everything that Christ has done according to the eternal plan of the Father. The covenant of redemption has been fulfilled. Christ, the Alpha and the Omega, has done it all from beginning to end, and that's what's captured in this cry. It is finished. God communicates to you and to me in one simple word: tetelestai. Christ has willingly given himself up for sinners. And that too is comprehended in this cry. And not only has he accomplished it, he offers it freely tonight. The complete work of redemption is finished. But what is it really that's finished? Well, this cry of Christ from the cross really includes eight things that we want to consider tonight. The first thing we want to consider is that his suffering is finished. No one can reach Christ anymore. There will be no more experience of pain, of sorrow, or of suffering. His suffering has come to an end. Yes, the soldier will come and take one last jab at Christ with his spear, but Christ will already be dead. He won't suffer anymore. He will have been at peace. No one can falsely accuse him anymore. No one can taunt him, saying, "If thou be the Christ, come down from the cross, save thyself and others." The shame he bore is now finished. The terrible wrath of God against him has been satisfied. It's a cry to heaven, to his Father, saying, Father, my suffering is finished. It's complete. I have done your will. I have suffered the unjust for the just, but the just for the unjust. I have been made perfect through suffering. Father, it is finished. Sinner, it is finished for you tonight. Christ has endured hell. He has endured being forsaken of his Father. He has done it so that you, child of God, don't have to do it. Because you can't. How this ought to sober us tonight. We must not think lightly of Christ's suffering and death. He didn't have to come. He didn't have to finish salvation for sinners. He could have left us exposed to the naked flame of the wrath of God, the all-consuming wrath of God, and left us to fend for ourselves. And then where would we be? Oh, here is a word of mercy. Tetelestai, it is finished. The penitent sinner hears this cry with bittersweet feelings in his soul. In the finished sufferings of Christ, there is life and there is comfort. The hell that you rightfully deserve has been laid upon Christ. He has descended where you deserve to go. The God-forsakenness that you deserve, Christ has endured. The nails through the hands and the feet that you deserve have been taken by Christ. The hellish agony in God's wrath is absorbed by Christ. That's what you and I deserve for our sins. We deserve this death. But glory be to God. It is finished. The second thing comprehended in this cry is that Scripture is finished. All the Old Testament promises and prophecies culminate in this one cry. The seed of Genesis 3:15 has come and crushed the head of Satan. The virgin of Isaiah 7 has conceived and borne a son, and his name is Emmanuel, God with us on the cross. The Son of David will soon be seated on the throne of heaven and earth. From the cradle to the cross to the crown, it is finished. The Lion of the tribe of Judah has vanquished every foe. The experience of the psalmist has become full and bitter reality for Christ. He thirsted. He drank vinegar. He suffered alone. He's the rejected cornerstone. His hands and feet have been pierced. His garments have been gambled away at the casino at the cross. It's finished. Isaiah's prophecies have been finished. Christ is despised, rejected of man, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. That's who Christ is. He's numbered with the transgressors. He gave his back to the smiters, his cheeks to them that plucked out the hair. The Passover lamb is offered up. Not one of his bones is broken. Scripture is finished. The brazen serpent has been lifted up for all to see tonight. The second Adam has come to reverse the curse. Prophecy after prophecy, promise after promise is finished in this cry. And one can argue too that Christ is already looking forward to his burial and resurrection, that is already as good as finished. Not one word remains unfulfilled about Christ's birth and death. And so Christ cries out triumphantly, Tetelestai, it is finished. Centuries of anticipation have culminated in this cry for undeserving sinners. It is finished. Scripture is authenticated in this cry. The gospel is complete. Shelter under the blood of this Passover lamb and be saved. Look to this brazen serpent and be healed of your poisonous sin. Flee to the second Adam and find in him your obedience. so that you can live to God. Test the Scripture tonight. See if there is any promise that remains unfulfilled concerning Christ's death. The promises and prophecies are yea and amen in Christ. You must test them or you will fail. You must rely on them or you will falter. You must believe them or you will doubt. You must live by them or you will perish everlastingly. Beloved, it is finished. The third thing that we see is that Christ's service is finished. Christ came on a divinely appointed mission, a mission of redemption. Nothing could dissuade him from finishing this mission. Children, you know the story of how Jesus was in the temple. His parents came to look for him. And they began to rebuke him. He said, "What? Don't you know that I'm to be about my Father's business?" You see, Jesus was on a mission. Nothing could stop him, not even his parents. Luke tells us in Luke 9 that Jesus went to Jerusalem knowing what was going to happen there. At every turn he was faced with death threats. People threatened to kill him, to undo his mission. But he resisted because his time was not yet. Jesus says in John 5 verse 30, "I can of mine own self do nothing, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me." You see, Jesus was focused on one thing, and that was to do the will of his Father, to accomplish redemption for sinners like you. In the Greek world, this word tetelestai was used by servants who would come to their master and say, "Master, I've completed the task. The mission you gave me to do is finished." This is what Jesus prays in John 17. He says, "I've glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do." In Gethsemane, Jesus prayed in deep agony, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup be removed from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." And here he prays, as it were, "Father, your will is finished. Your will is done." Heaven's missionary, sent to earth, finished the work of redemption. We see the resolve of Christ to redeem sinners. Nothing could stop him. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son to accomplish this mission of redemption. The Savior lived with holy resolve till the will of his Father was accomplished, till each sinner, till each of his people would be gathered into the fold. You see, Jesus delights to do the will of the Father. And if he delights to do the will of the Father, he delights to save sinners tonight. It's part of his mission. He won't rest until each one of you who are his people are gathered in. This is grace upon grace. Christ has finished his service. And he continues to accomplish his mission in the hearts of sinners today. Will you still remain in unbelief at the glory and grace of Christ as it's revealed in this word? It is finished. But not only that, we see that sacrifice is finished. That's the fourth thing. All the Old Testament types and figures of Christ's sacrifice in the Old Testament have been ended in this cry, "It is finished." Shepherds and priests used the word tetelestai when they found a perfect sheep ready for sacrifice. And here we see that Christ, as he uttered this word, died as the perfect Lamb of God for sinners. Day after day of bloodshed has been finished. There'll be no more blood of animals shed for remission of sin. The sacrifices are finished. There's no more anticipation on the part of the spiritual Israelite. The Lamb has been slain. The sin offering has been made. The peace offering has been slaughtered and laid on the altar. The blood has been sprinkled. The wave offering, it's been finished. It's been waved before God the Father. And He's accepted it on behalf of sinners. The Passover lamb has been sacrificed. The veil has been rent in two. The high priest himself has entered in with his own blood into the Holy of Holies once for all. Beloved, it is finished. The ceremonial law is finished. The moral law is finished. It's been kept down to the last jot, down to the last T. The second Adam has done what the first failed to do. He didn't come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it, to finish it for sinners, for disobedient and gainsaying sinners. He lived the perfect life. He died the perfect death so that He could say, "Tetelestai, it is finished." What a comfort tonight for God's people that Christ has finished sacrifice. This is the only sacrifice that could satisfy God's wrath for sin. Hebrews 9 verse 28 says, "So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for Him shall He appear the second time without sin unto salvation." You see, those who trust in this finished work have hope, not for only this life, but for the life to come, that Christ is coming again to make you perfect. Peel your eyes away from this world and the things that you think can save you. We're so prone as the people of God to turn to the things of time and sense, to the things that we think can save us. But Christ directs you to Him tonight in this cry, saying, "It is finished. There's nothing you or I can do to add to it." Maybe some of you are still bringing your works to God and saying, "Lord, look what I have done." But God says, "No, look what My Son has done. It is finished." You try to bring things to the bargaining table and say, "Lord, I'm trying to be good. I'm trying to add things so that I can make myself acceptable to You." But there's no bargaining with God. That's proved in this cry, "It is finished." There's two ways we can approach this cry tonight. We can either embrace it by faith in the grace of God, or we can resist it and ignore it at our peril. Are you confessing and living out this confession with the words of the hymnist, "Not the labors of my hands can fulfill Thy law's demands"? Beloved, it's not what you can bring. It's what Christ has done. It is finished. All for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and Thou alone. Are you confessing before God, "Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to Thy cross I cling. Naked, nothing. I come to Thee for dress, helpless, look to Thee for grace. Foul I to the fountain fly. Wash me, Savior, or I die." Is that your confession tonight? As you hear this one word communicated to you tonight, "Tetelestai." Even more than that, there's another thing that is finished. It's the fifth thing we see. Satan is finished. The battle between God, between Christ and Satan, has existed from the very beginning. From the moment Adam and Eve transgressed the law of God, God said, "I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed." The battle is waged as Christ hangs on the cross. Satan came and he attacked Christ vehemently. But in Colossians 2 verse 15, we read that Christ made a show of Satan openly. Over Satan and all his devils. He triumphed over Satan in the cross. And upon Christ's return, Satan will be forever bound and cast into the lake of fire because of Christ's victory on the cross. Satan is a defeated foe. Satan is finished. And again, child of God, that's a comfort for you. You heard it last Sunday evening. That Christ preserves you. He's freed you from the power of the devil. Satan is limited. He is finished. In principle, this cry of Christ has annihilated Satan. And yes, he still seeks to exert power in your life. But he can't dislodge you from your place in Christ. For those of you who do not trust Christ tonight, you're serving a defeated enemy. And this cry will come back and haunt you. Not that your salvation is finished. But if you refuse to trust and obey and believe in Jesus Christ, this cry will come back to you and say, you are finished, just like your master. Will this be a cry of defeat for you? Or will it be a cry of victory? The sixth thing that Christ finishes is sin. This word, for it is finished, tetelestai, was also used by merchants. It was used by servants. It was used by shepherds and priests. But it's also used by merchants to indicate that the price was paid completely. On the bill of sale, they would stamp tetelestai. It is finished. And here we see a common word. Such richness, such depth of meaning. John the Baptist announced Christ as the Lamb of God who was to take away the sin of the world. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 21, Christ was made to be sin for those who knew no sin. Hebrews 9 verse 26b, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Sin put away forever because of Christ's work. Christ has canceled the record of debt that is owed to God by you, child of God. Colossians 2 verse 14, he's blotted out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us. He took it out of the way. He nailed it to his cross. It is finished. If you get a bill in the mail, you take it to the bank. The teller behind the desk takes her stamp. It says paid in full. You and I have a statement of debt that needs to be paid. It's written in black ink. On black paper. But Christ comes with his blood. And he stamps. Tetelestai. It is finished. His purity. For sinners' impurities. His righteousness. For unrighteousness. His obedience for sinners' disobedience. His sinlessness for our sin. He's taken the handwriting of the ordinances that was against us. He took it out of the way so that there is no obstacle. It is finished. A.W. Pink says it well. The cross of Christ is the grave of our sins. Paid in full. Buried. Never to be brought up again. For those who trust in Him tonight. God has reconciled the world to Himself through this sacrifice. Through this payment. Peace has been established. His blood has been shed. It's finished. Are you wrestling with sin tonight, trying to pay for it yourself? The great reformer Martin Luther tried this. He tried again and again. He thought he could pay for it by inflicting physical damage to his body, by doing penance day after day, hour after hour. But nothing could pay for his sin. The righteousness of God, which he thought was his enemy, became his friend as he realized that he could not pay for his sin. Have you been brought to that point where you see that you cannot pay for your sin? Then see in Christ that the debt has been canceled. Tetelestai, it is finished. You can't pay the debt. That's the reality of the life of the child of God. You've come to realize that you cannot pay this great debt of sin. But the currency of Christ's blood has paid for your sin. That's the surety that we hear in these words tonight. It is finished. Christ hasn't paid half the debt. He doesn't make a down payment and pay the rest of it later. No, as soon as you're united to Christ by faith, you can sing with Augustus' top lady, "If thou hast my discharge procured, and freely in my place endured the whole of wrath divine. Payment God cannot twice demand, first at my bleeding surety's hand and then again at mine." It's been paid once for all. Tetelestai. It is finished. Seventhly, salvation is finished. It's complete. There's nothing you and I can add to it. Christ offers us a full-orbed, a comprehensive salvation. The prophet Daniel prophesied of this. Daniel 9, verse 24. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision in prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. This is the salvation that Christ has accomplished. From the moment of calling and regeneration, repentance and faith, justification, adoption, sanctification, perseverance, glorification, Christ has finished it all. Tetelestai, it is finished. Don't turn to anything else but to Christ's finished work. Calvin says we ought to be satisfied with his death alone for salvation, and we're not at liberty to apply for assistance in any other quarter. It was chiefly for the purpose of giving peace and tranquility to our consciences that he pronounced this word. It is finished. Is there war in your heart tonight? Where are you seeking salvation? Calvin says, don't stop. Or let us stop here, therefore, if we do not choose to be deprived of the salvation which he has procured for us. Beloved, don't stop short of Christ's finished work. And don't ever go beyond Christ's finished work. Because nothing else can save you so completely. Tetelestai, it is finished. Finally, we read in verse 30 of John chapter 19 that Christ's Spirit is finished. Everything that's happened on the cross is due to the determinate counsel of God. The Roman guard didn't murder Christ. The Jews didn't give Christ the death blow. Well, they crucified him, certainly. God used the instruments of human wickedness to bring about the death of the sinless Son of God. But it was all according to the determinate counsel of God, as Peter testifies in Acts 2. This victory cry is issued forth because Christ had the power to lay down his life. and to take it up again. Christ freely and voluntarily submitted his life to the hands of the mobs, to the hands of the Roman soldiers as they crucified him. As he utters this cry to Telestai, he bows his head. He gives up the ghost. In these words, we see the voluntary action of Christ to lay down his life for sinners. I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life for the sheep. Who is the lost sheep among you tonight? He was the shepherd who has laid down his life. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. And Christ has done it for his enemies. To Telestai, it's finished. For poor, wandering sheep, for hell-bound sheep, what love and what compassion Christ demonstrates in this cry. He doesn't end in defeat, no, he ends in perfect victory. Yes, the world thought that everything was lost because Christ is now dead. But the world didn't know that on the third day Christ would rise again, authenticating his death, authenticating salvation even more, bringing it to pass, sealing it in his death and in his resurrection. Beloved, the cross is the pulpit of God's love. And the last word that he utters from this pulpit is to Telestai. It is finished. The marrow men said it strongly. Christ is dead for sinners. It cannot be more complete than that. The fact that Christ uttered this cry and bowed his head and gave up his spirit, it tells you something. It tells you that salvation has been accomplished. There is this objective reality that Christ has died for sinners. It confronts each one of you tonight. Nothing can take away from that reality. Do you believe it? Do you trust in Christ? Is this the confession for your soul? Yes, Lord, it is finished for me too. Or are you still going about trying to add to Christ's finished work? Or are you shutting out this final appeal of God's love to sinners from a conquering and a victorious Savior? Are you trampling underfoot this announcement of God's love? I want to close with an illustration. Years ago, a Christian farmer is very concerned about the life of his neighbor, a carpenter. He's very concerned about his soul. He was determined to set before this carpenter the riches and beauty of the salvation that Christ had procured on the cross. As he spoke to the carpenter kept bringing up excuses, kept persisting in the belief that he must do something himself. One day the farmer came to this carpenter and he said, "I want a gate made for my pasture. And I want to invite you, when this gate is complete, to view it. When it's completed and hung in the rest of the fence." And so the carpenter came, went to look at this gate. Beautiful handiwork. The farmer was there with an axe in his hand. And the carpenter says, "What is the axe for? What are you going to do?" The farmer replied, "I'm going to add a few cuts and strokes to your work." The carpenter replied, "There's no need for it. It's done. The gate is all right as it is. I did all that was necessary to it. The farmer ignored him. He took his axe and he began to hack away at this gate, putting marks in it, splintering it until it was just laying in splinters. A beautiful gate. The carpenter was distressed. He said, "Look at what you've done to my handiwork. You've ruined it." "Yes," the farmer said, "that's what you're trying to do. You're trying to ruin the finished work of Christ by persisting that you need to do something to it. You're adding your own miserable additions to it. And just like I ruined that gate, you're ruining Christ's finished work. Are you ruining the finished work of Christ by trying to add to it?" Christ tells you tonight, "Tetelestai, it is finished." What hinders you from believing? Is it your inability? Christ has finished the work. There's nothing you can add to it. There remains nothing for you to do but to embrace it by faith, by Spirit-worked faith. You've heard of Christ's faithfulness in accomplishing His mission. He's also faithful in applying this salvation to the hearts of sinners who come to Him. Those who are not adding anything to this salvation. Maybe it's your unwillingness, but it's finished. Christ, the willing Savior, has given up His life for sinners like you. None of us can now escape the objective reality of the cross of Christ and what it represents. It's finished. Tetelestai. Tonight it's either trusting in this Savior who uttered this cry of victory, or it's breaking to pieces His finished work with your unbelief. What will it be? This victory cry represents a glorious, a stark reality for sinners tonight. Salvation is accomplished. Skepticism must be laid to rest. Rational arguments against this reality must be silenced. Unbelief must melt away at this astonishing cry, "Tetelestai." The cross is not an arena for our intellect. The cross is not presented to us tonight so that we can just wrap our minds around it. It's not our duty to grasp everything about the cross and the finished work of Christ with our minds. But what our duty remains after tonight is to repent and to believe. To rest in Christ's finished work, so that the cross becomes not an arena for our intellect, but a refuge, a paradise for our faith. It's finished. Children, what was that one Greek word that you learned tonight? Tetelestai. It's finished. Amen.